This is Stateside. I'm Cynthia Canty. The city of Detroit and Wayne County are making concerted efforts to tackle two big problems, lack of money and blight. They're zeroing in on abandoned houses and on homes where owners have fallen behind on taxes, pay up, or face foreclosure. The foreclosed homes are being offered to those who fix them up, keep them up, and pay taxes. So what does all of this mean for the people who have been living in those houses? Writer Rose Hackman looked into that question for her story for The Atlantic. Its title, One-Fifth of Detroit's Population Could Lose Their Homes. Rose Hackman is with us now. Rose, describe the process that's happening as the city and Wayne County identify those homes and then take action.
Well, it's a very long process. So what happens is if you are a property owner in Detroit and do not pay your taxes for 1 year, your debt is transferred over to Wayne County that then monitors you for the next 2 years. And if you are found to not pay your property taxes for 3 years straight, you are eligible for tax foreclosure. And because in Detroit, it seems, we have a lot of people who are either falling behind on property taxes or not paying at all, that means that you have a lot of properties that are either going through the tax foreclosure process or threatened with tax foreclosure. We're talking about tens of thousands.
And I know that it's such a massive concern that it's hard to get fixed numbers, isn't it, as you try to figure out how many homes are we talking about or potentially how many people are we talking about?
Right, right. So this last year, 52,000 properties originally were served in the Wayne County area with tax foreclosure notices. 24,000 of those only ended up being foreclosed on last April 1st, 2014. That means that around 28,000 properties and property owners either got on payment plans or paid their taxes, and you get left with these 24,000 properties who are behind. 22,000 are in Detroit. And then there is this big idea that Detroit is a largely abandoned city, or there are a lot of abandoned properties in Detroit. So the next problem is figuring out how many of these properties are actually occupied. And the estimate that I was given by Loveland Technologies was around 10,000 properties are occupied. Again, in Detroit, it's quite difficult to know exactly whether that's an exact figure, because you might have people living inside houses that are boarded up.
And that 2.74 people per household, which is what the Census Bureau tells us, is Detroit's population. So you're looking at possibly this year's foreclosures could oust about 27,000 Detroiters. But
right.
Then knowing that there are even more homes that are kind of in the pipeline, ultimately the total possible evictions, you write to us, could be 142,000. And in a city with fewer than 700,000 residents, that's pretty sizable. But now you bring us an example of what this looks and feels like at the ground level. Tell us a little about Yvonne Brown.
Yvonne Brown is a pretty heartbreaking story. And so I knocked on her door because when I first saw it, it had Halloween decorations outside. So it was very much a lived-in house. She was being foreclosed on. She owed just over $8,000 in taxes. And she says she survives on around $850 a month, which is retirement and disability.
And how had she fallen so far behind?
Well, she bought the house, I think, 3 years ago, and it already had a lot of property taxes attached to it, which is one of the narratives that seem to have emerged. A lot of what I found talking to people is it's a very simple, you know, matter-of-fact thing that is they can't afford it, and they fell back for whatever reason.
And then once foreclosure happens, they go up for auction and for sometimes as low as $500.
Right. So the first part of the auction, the properties go up for the amount of taxes owed and liens owed, which can be, you know, anywhere between $8,000 and $15,000. And then the second part of the auction is when houses go up for $500 at a starting bid, which is the administrative fee.
And that basically clears the table of the previous debt. Could these owners pay the $500 if they knew enough to do it?
Absolutely. If they were told or if they know about the process, they are absolutely able to buy back their properties for $500 and no more debts. The problem is, what I found is that very few people seem to know about this. There are stories that I've heard, but this is secondhand, not firsthand, of investors, you know, going around telling homeowners, mm-hmm. no, you're not allowed to buy the property. You know, I can buy it for you, for example. And then that's when you get a lot of dark stories about people buying homes for very little and then selling them back to their occupants for a huge, huge margin difference.
I'm talking with the writer from The Atlantic, Rose Hackman. Her piece looks at the efforts of the city of Detroit and Wayne County to foreclose on homes where people have fallen 3 years behind in their taxes and then sell them and bring in folks who basically can pay the taxes. And Rose is number crunching in talking to Wayne County and also to the company that has been surveying the city, is that you could see up to 142,000 Detroit residents evicted going forward with this process. Here's the question. Do you think this is a concerted, deliberate effort by the city and the county to broom away poor residents, kind of clear the ground?
You know, that would be a very cynical interpretation of what's going on. I'm not necessarily saying that at all. Is there a concerted effort? I don't think so. But I think that potentially what's going on is quite grim for poor, overwhelmingly African-American residents. And when you contextualize that within a history of overt segregation, which is not that far away and in fact continues to affect current residents through the homes that they've inherited or, you know, their own family histories, I think that's where, you know, uncomfortable questions arise.
But can anyone say that things were working for the city the way they've been going, with people falling behind in taxes, 3 years behind and no way to do it? Or maybe is there an effort to differentiate those who are trying in good faith to make a dent in the tax bill and those who are trying to scam the system?
You know, some people, I'm pretty sure, maybe could afford to pay their bills, their taxes, and are not. But I reported also actually for The Atlantic on the water shutoff crisis. And it was the same. Most people I spoke to, if they could afford to pay their bills, would have to sacrifice bills that they're paying elsewhere. So, for instance, they might have trouble putting food on the table, or they might have trouble paying their electricity bill or getting gas for the car. You're talking about a population of people who are living on, you know, very, very low incomes. So it's difficult to criminalize those choices that they are having to make and say, aha, you could pay your water bill or you could have paid your property tax because, look, when we force you to do it, you did, when they're going to be suffering in other domains. This is the big problem with Detroit moving forward. You know, how do you move forward with the people that have been a part of Detroit? You know, how do you rebuild a city with a vast proportion of the population that is poor, but that also historically, potentially through a history of segregation, has been made to be poor?
Mayor Mike Duggan has been tasked with some enormous challenges, including cleaning up blight and also trying to bring badly needed money into the depleted treasury. So this is clearly one way in this whole process. Did you try to speak with him?
I did reach out to his communications director, but did not receive any answer. I did actually also reach out to the assessor's office.
I wonder, too, could one argue that, looking at the fact, you know, we've been kind of talking about racial themes in this, could one argue that the color that matters here isn't black or white, but it's green, that it's the money that the city so badly needs? And people are going to hear this and ask what is so wrong with trying to get people who are so many years delinquent in their taxes to pay up? And if they don't, well, then open the property up to someone who can.
Sure. I mean, I agree with that. But I think that as we focus on green, and as we focus on economics, we need to also understand the choices that we're making on a human level. And that's what I'm saying. At the moment, the choices that are being made by luring in richer, predominantly whiter residents are pushing out potentially older black residents. And that is the choice that we make if we focus purely on economics, unfortunately, at this moment in this country, because, you know, the socioeconomic disparities between black and white are huge. You know, it's undeniable. There are studies showing that you are born in a white family today, you are going to be six times wealthier on average than your black counterpart. And the median white family is 20 times richer than the median black family. So the economic disparities are huge.
What kind of conversation are you hoping that your piece for The Atlantic will start to percolate?
I speak to people a lot privately. I've been living in the city for a year now. And I feel like in private, there are a lot of conversations that include history and include uncomfortable conversations about history in this city. And, you know, frankly, in the United States and the world, I'm English, you know, we have a terrible history of colonialism. And I feel that in the public domain, that is something that's been lacking. There is a complete discomfort with talking about these kinds of issues that unfortunately continue to affect our daily lives and our daily choices and our policy choices, potentially.
Rose Hackman's piece, One-Fifth of Detroit's Population Could Lose Their Homes, can be found in The Atlantic, which you can find at theatlantic.com. Rose, thanks so much.
Thank you.